Let us now take a virtual tour of the monument. Starting at the village square, we take the steps or the uphill paved path and reach the huge sycamore tree, listed by the Forestry Department among the ancient trees of the island. It is 600 years old and believed to be the tree planted by the wealthy Venetian maiden. A small monument can be seen in the shade of that tree. It's dedicated to the Greek Nobel laureate George Seferis, who visited Ayia Napa and composed his poem Ayia Napa, part of his collection Imerologio Catastromatos Tria, Logbook 3, entitled Cyprus, Where Apollo Ordered Me to Live, Icarus Edition, Athens, 1955. We enter the monastery through its massive southern gate, where the pebble-paved cloister leads us to the rectangular courtyard surrounded by ashlar-built structures of various periods. The north, east and south sides of the courtyard are taken up by the monastic buildings, whereas the church, partly cut in rock, is located on the western side. The oldest part of the monastery comprises the four cross-vaulted cells of the east wing. The two other cells with the pointed arches in the same wing are newer, while the cloister with the arches running its length is a later addition. A part of those cells housed the sanitation facilities. The north wing cells, where there is now a small shop, are also later additions. In the far right corner, we see the oil mill, constructed during the Ottoman occupation. In the same wing, close to the north gate, stands the two-story building added in 1530, according to the inscription Alexander Drummond had seen, which is probably associated with the wealthy Venetian maiden. That edifice stands out not only because of its meticulous construction, but also because of the impressive upper floor windows framed by elaborate columns supporting semicircular arches in the Venetian tradition. The relief coat of arms and the flagpole holders visible in the northern wall bear witness to the past glory of this monument. Contemporary with the two-story building is the equally impressive fountain in the centre of the courtyard. It is an octagonal structure of limestone blocks with a low enclosure forming stone benches. The fountain is covered with a cupola standing on four pillars supporting pointed arches. At the centre of the enclosure there's a marble fountain with a short column crowned with an Ionian capital, out of which water used to flow. The outer sides of the fountain are decorated with a garland in relief and with three faces. According to tradition, they are the portraits of the Venetian lady and her parents. The coats of arms, which were also part of the decoration, are too damaged to shed any light on the identities of those faces. Only one coat of arms, according to Gunnis, belonged to the de Brie or the de Vit family. The water that springs up in the fountain and spouts out of the Roman period boar head in front of the two-story building is channeled here via the medieval aqueduct, which is 2 kilometres long. From those points, an underground conduit diverts it to the large cistern outside the monastery's south wing next to the main gate. The south gate building is finely constructed and simple. It consists of three adjacent open rooms with cupolas resting on vaults. By contrast, the western room is an enclosed one and occasionally serves as a venue for a charity handicrafts bazaar. Concluding our tour inside the monastery, we come to the truly impressive church on the west side of the courtyard. In actual fact, it's a cluster of churches. Facing the courtyard with the rosette and the frame above its original door, it is a typical example of a 14th century medieval monument. Descending several steps, we enter the church, which is divided into two unequal naves. The first one is a large, simple square area with just a few contemporary icons of saints on the walls. This nave serves as a sales point for icons and ecclesiastical items. The nave on the right is narrower. It's the one used as a Latin chapel during the 16th century. In the far right corner, there are some half-damaged murals of the 15th century, with marked Italian influence, depicting three sainted women. In the back of the first nave, two steps lead down to the rock-cut church, believed to date back to the Byzantine era. It was there, as tradition has it, that the hunter and his dog found the miraculous icon of Virgin Mary. A feeling of true religious devotion emanates from that place, enhanced by the simple iconostasis separating the sanctuary from the nave, where there are wooden seats for worshippers and visitors. On the wall to the right of the iconostasis, we see a large votive icon of Virgin Mary, dedicated in 1962 by a Famagusta family, prompted by the Virgin, who appeared in a vision. Around and below the icon, there are silver and wax votive offerings left by believers who've asked for the Virgin's help. Various sacraments, such as marriage and baptism, continue to be celebrated at this oldest of the monastery churches, and Mass is held on minor holidays which fall on weekdays. The miraculous icon of the Virgin found in the cave is now on the iconostasis of the large church to the southwest of the monastery, built in 1990 and also dedicated to Virgin Mary. The belt of the saint of Ayia Napa is considered miraculous as well. It's kept in a large adjacent church to the southwest of the monastery. Many women who are infertile or experience difficulties in pregnancy come to the church every day to put on the belt. On the 8th of September, the church celebrates the Nativity of Virgin Mary, and a large fete is held. The interior of the church is also impressive, with the murals painted by religious artist Sozos Yanoudis and his team. The monastery site attracts not only many profoundly religious worshippers, but also visitors who are interested in ancient monuments. Moreover, many young newlyweds come to be photographed in this idyllic environment. It should be noted that many festivals take place at the monastery throughout the year. It's an ideal venue for the medieval festival, which is organised by the municipality of Ayia Napa every October. It has been established as an annual event since 2006, lasts 1 week, and includes musical, theatrical and dance performances. The September Ayia Napa Festival is another established event since 1985. It takes place in the square at the southern gate of the monastery and lasts 3 days. Many other art and cultural events take place at the same square in May, June, July and August, the peak tourist period. Exiting the monastery through the southern gate, we can see at a glance that the buildings surrounding this ancient monument have one feature in common. Almost all are contemporary, since they were built after 1974. The Turkish invasion destroyed 95% of the island's tourism. Consequently, we had to develop the free part of Cyprus. The small fishing village of Ayia Napa was turned into a major tourist destination in record time. During the first years of development, Ayia Napa attracted visitors mainly in the summer. Now, several hotels operate throughout the year, thanks to winter and sports tourism.